9:30 on a Monday morning, an opportunity to spend a little bit of time with our legislative team on Capitol Call, brought to you this morning by Phillips 66. And Senator, because you are in the door before the House representation, we'll start with action from the Senate this week. And it's always a busy week, but it seems as though we're getting down to crunch time for committee work in the Senate.
Morning, Charlie. Morning, everybody in Bartlesville and the KWN listening area. Yes, this is a deadline week as a committee chairman. I had my last judiciary meeting on Tuesday, and because it coincided with 45th Infantry Recognition Day,
yes,
we met at a different time. We came back and finished later. For anybody who's come to visit me this week and you wonder why you came by and you can't find me anywhere, it's just the work day at the Capitol can be long, but it's also divided up into whatever chunks of time the leadership decide to set aside for certain things. But yes, we heard about 20 more bills in the Judiciary Committee this week, and now all of those are ripe and ready to go to the floor. Let's see. I know that you just mentioned to me, Charlie, we'll just go ahead and pick up with this. There was a request has come over from the House for a cost of living allowance increase for retired government employees.
I'm operating from memory, so I may be off, but I think the last one is like 08, I believe, if memory serves.
Yes. Right.
I'm sorry.
Right. And the issue is that the law, as it was written, is that any proposed increase requires an actuarial study. And if I get this right, you do the actuarial study in 1 year, and then you come back and get the report of the actuary to decide what is the fiscally responsible thing to do. Now, to give a little history, in 2010, the majority party, the Republicans, decided to start shoring up the pension funds. COLAs had been granted out of the funds themselves, so the funds could not grow. So the fund's liability began to increase, and this impacts a lot of other things in state government, you know, our credit rating for one thing, all those things that will help boost your economy, generate interest in your economy, and so the Republicans started to put money into these retirement funds. And I have a bottom line figure here that the 9-year total going into the funds has been $2,870,655,000 is what we have put in over 10 years to get these funds back to where they could meet their liabilities. Now, the little tiny funds that serve the judges, they're at about 112%. You know, the teacher retirement fund was getting up into the upper 70s, I believe. I don't have that spreadsheet in front of me. But if you grant a COLA out of the fund balance itself, you begin to erode the balance and your liability increases. So the only responsible way to fund a COLA would be to continue to put money into the retirement funds to get their percentages up and find additional money outside of that to grant a COLA, which is why the majority party has not done COLAs in the past 10 years. The idea was to get these retirement funds up to a healthy balance. We all know that there is no such thing as a Social Security trust fund. There's not one penny in Social Security. And we know that if we do not reform it, my new grandchild, your grandchildren, Daryl's grandchildren are going to pay the price. It's a much lesser problem at the state level because we are putting money into these funds. So there is a bit of a philosophical difference between the Senate and the House right now, but we at least need to follow the law that we put in place and do the actuarial study. And then if they say, you can do a 1% or a 2%, this will add this many more years to you reaching a certain balance. Or you could say, when the balance reaches 80%, you could do a 1%. There are all sorts of different ways to think about that. But yes, you're right. I had not read that news item today, but I thought that was coming down, is that we will do the required actuarial study and come back and do this in as fiscally responsible manner as we can. Sorry for the very long-winded explanation.
Only because it's a somewhat complicated issue to fully explain, and at least to my ears, you did an excellent job on that. Good morning, Mr. Fincher.
Good morning, Charlie, and thank you for having us on here. And hello to everybody in KWON area. I just want to tag a bit on the pension.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like this problem just immediately showed up.
No.
I mean, this was decades in the making.
And ours is better than many of the other 50 states, but yes, go ahead.
Like
yes.
Illinois? Like Illinois?
Yes, just like, yes, well, I believe they either are or one step away from becoming the highest tax state in the nation. But anyway, that's where I come from. Yeah.
Well, you know, part of the problem is pensions are future guarantee, or, you know, we guarantee something way down in the future. And so I really don't have to put any money into it now. And, you know, but if you look at your own savings, and this will shock a lot of people, but if you're trying to save for retirement, your best years are when you're in your 20s, even if you don't put very much away because of the magic of compound interest. And so, you know, I want to give a shout out to Representative Sears, who served before me, because he and our current treasurer, Randy McDaniels, even in the toughest times, insisted that money continue to go into the pensions, because we did not want to get to the point where we could not deliver to our retirees of where they are. And we're continuing to try to build this up, but this has been decades in the making. I know it's very difficult for people. I know, you know, that even my own mother has been on the teacher retirement system, and so making sure that we get money into it is very personal to a lot of the people there. But we also want to make sure that it's there for people in the future.
Absolutely. It's something that you announced in an email, or your office did, actually. You talked specifically about 45th day, and as a retired guardsman, thank you very much.
Oh, and thank you for your service. I appreciate that. 45th day was a joint session, and Senator Daniels, thank you for coming and sitting with me for that.
Oh, I enjoyed that.
That was the best joint session I've been in. I don't know how many more you've been in, but that was our fourth joint session that I've been in, and it was very well done.
Yes, and they handed out the first ever, what was the gentleman's name? I wanted to say Herman or Sherman.
Yes, I don't have it right in front
of me. We have, in Oklahoma, a member of the 45th. Maybe he wasn't in the 40th. He was the 45th. He shot down the last Nazi plane in World War II after the peace had been declared.
Mm-hmm.
The next day, as they said at the joint session, he was not convinced the Germans would keep their side of the bargain. He went up and found German planes on a mission, and he took them on.
Wow.
The last, I just didn't know. So they've named a special award going forward in his honor, and he and his wife were there to receive it. So it was a very, very moving.
I'm sure Joe has probably interviewed the man.
What's that?
I'm sure Joe has probably interviewed.
Probably has. Yeah.
Probably
yes,
has.
We'll have
yes.
to find out today when we when we see him. Yes, so we did that, and apropos of nothing, but we were just talking about our grandchildren. I just got a text from my daughter-in-law say I need to shout out to my granddaughter, Georgie. Georgie's only 2 months old. She's not going to remember this, but to keep peace in the family, I'm doing a shout out to her. We also are working on the budget. According to our leadership in the Senate, we are 80% in agreement. All these separate budgets are coming together. I'm working with my House counterpart. We had two meetings with fiscal staff this week. We are putting the finishing touches on our recommendation for the district courts and the Supreme Court. We have hit a slight snag on the method by which we will increase funding to education. We in the Senate wanted it to all go through the formula. So we are very happy for teachers to have more money, but we wanted it all to go through the formula. The House has a different perspective, which I'll let Representative Fincher speak to. But in order to keep the negotiations going, we agreed, and I voted for, the teacher pay raise in our appropriations meeting this week. All 21 of us voted for it. We want it to all go through the formula, but we also want to continue to have this discussion with the House. Now, something happened in the House that made that a little bit more difficult going forward. Because they dropped the teacher pay raise into our one reform bill about the five-day school week. So as of yesterday afternoon, there was a bit of an impasse. It will all get sorted out. This is what happens when you have 149 plus 48 people. We all represent our own philosophy, the people of our district. You have the governor fully engaged, which has not been true in the past. And so there's just a lot to work through. To the outside world, it all seems very, I won't say petty, but it all seems in the weeds. But when you're talking about power, authority, and money, sometimes you hit a snag And it may or may not be the thing you thought that would cause the problem.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where we are. Is that a reasonable and respectful summation of what's going on?
I think it is. And I think it's, you know, and to talk about the House side of this, part of what we did on the House is, do you put it all into the formula, or do you put some into a raise and some into the formula?
In my experience observing school boards, it depends on what size district you're talking to.
And that is exactly part of the challenge. But I think one of the real challenging things is the governor really wants to assure that we have well-paid teachers. So he also is on the side of putting some money in the raise, and so we passed a $1,200 pay raise. The Senate, on the other hand, wants to focus on five-day, making sure we have five-day school weeks. Doesn't affect anybody in District 11, but it does affect some in District 10. Unfortunately, Representative Strom couldn't be here. He's actually meeting with the
retired
Washington
teachers.
County retired teachers. So for them, that's a heavy lift. That's the bill the Senate wants. That would have been a heavy lift because we have so many rural representatives who have their school boards. It only takes one about all the schools in your district telling you, you know, this is bad for us, for it to make it difficult to come by. And so part of it is, how do we get something that the governor will sign, the Senate will sign, and brings things together that we may or may not like a bit? Now, talking about the power reminds me of marriage, right? Your first argument is about money, but it's really about power dynamics within the relationship. And I tell people that the House and the Senate are a bit like two crosstown rivals, but we still have to work together. And so we're going to get this all worked out. I'm very encouraged because I got our floor schedule. Normally, much of what we do, we go in it and we're in there for an hour, hour and a half, do some bills. We had some bills scheduled, didn't hear them all. Got the message from our floor leader, said we're going to be in from 1:30 to 5 on Monday and just plan 9:30 to 5 the rest of the week, which means you're sitting on that floor, they give you some time for lunch, and you're voting, you're debating, you're discussing. So I'm very encouraged by that. It means we're planning on moving a lot of bills. And so I think they're thinking all this stuff will be resolved early.
Whereas Thursday afternoon, because of issues, we canceled the appropriations meeting that I serve on that committee, and we had another two dozen bills to hear. And as of Monday morning, we only have two bills on our floor schedule. So obviously our leadership is regrouping and having some very serious discussions with the leadership in the House. To go back to the four-day school week, the bill that we passed doesn't even kick in until 2021, and it says there are going to be some rules promulgated. If you have a four-day school week and you can show a savings in dollars, and it may be or, it may be and, I can't remember if it's and or, and that it has not adversely affected student performance, you go for it. You have to be in school
165
days, or 1,080 minutes. Yeah. You can combine
hours.
It.
Hours.
Any
yeah.
Hours. Thank you. Oh, gosh. So we acknowledged that there are districts that wish to continue with this schedule, but there is that word accountability, and somebody has to set a rule to test and measure that accountability. So again, reform is not easy. That's
the bottom
isn't.
Line. That's where it is. I have a recorded Bruin buzz, I need to move along. But thank you so much. And you both do an excellent job of being available to the public, email, in person, community events. So thank you for that effort on a continuing basis.
Well, thank you, Phillip 66. And I'll tell your listening area a little prayer for the family feud in the House and the Senate to be short lived by next Friday. We want all good news.
Yes. And thank you again to Phillip 66, and I agree with Senator Daniels. I think we're going to move over this because we're committed to showing the people of Oklahoma that we can do good things for Oklahoma.
And, we'll ignore the family feud because we know in the Christmas is coming, and we want you to get along. Thank you very much.
Yes.
That's Capital Call this morning on K1.
That's not the sound of a full tank. That's the sound of not missing her soccer game, of making it to the meeting, or driving as far away from the meeting as